Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with healthcare leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Sheila Talton, President and CEO of Gray Matter Analytics. Sheila is an innovative leader and big data strategist with over 30 years of experience helping organizations increase value, build successful businesses within larger companies, and expand into emerging markets. Her experience in governance extends to corporate, civic, and not-for-profit sectors as a board member and advisor. Sheila's built significant businesses both within large enterprise and as independent startups, as well as new markets for companies moving into emerging countries. Welcome, Sheila, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sheila, to kick things off, I'd like to ask you to tell us about what Gray Matter Analytics does and a little bit about your journey from organizations like Cisco Systems and EDS and Ernst & Young to Gray Matter Analytics.
Great. Thank you. Well, first of all, let me talk about my journey, and then I'll give an overview of Gray Matter.
Right.
I've been in technology for, as you mentioned, over 30 plus years. I've touched all of it, both on the hardware side, system software, application software, as well as consulting services. My last corporate job, as you mentioned, was Cisco Systems, where between Cisco and EDS, I had gained extensive international experience. I've had in my career responsibility in countries that are roughly about 40 different ones. Spent a lot of time building businesses on behalf of Cisco in China and in South America. Roughly 8 years ago, I got bit by the data bug. It was early in my career. I had been with a system software company that built the early iterations of relational databases, which is the foundation for big data, although the technology is much better today. I basically packed up from California, came back to Chicago, and launched Gray Matter Analytics. The impetus for that was I looked at industries that had underinvested in technology, but needed data to be able to operate both from growth as well as operational efficiency. So I landed on healthcare. In my previous roles, I had all verticals from industries reporting to me, but I had a healthcare leader, in fact, at Ernst & Young and also at Cisco Systems and EDS. But healthcare, as I said, has underinvested, and clearly with risk being shifted from the payer to the provider and using measures and metrics to judge quality, that is a great opportunity for data. So Gray Matter Analytics provides value-based care SaaS solution that supports healthcare providers and payers around monitoring and managing performance using measures and metrics that's in our platform. Our solution comprises of three components. We have a data platform that just supports our data algorithms, and we have consulting services that we provide to our clients to help them understand what the data is telling them and what the next best actions would be in order for them to course correct relative to improving quality and cost of care.
And so is this available in the wild, in the marketplace?
Yes.
And what sorts of customers do you have? What sorts of implementations
are the blue plans, some of the blue plans, mid-tier health systems, and managed care organizations.
Mm-hmm. We have certainly been talking about data in healthcare for a while, and we're slowly getting better at accessing the data, analyzing the data, using the data. And some of the data are healthcare specific and some really come from the broader world. And over this past year of COVID and going back further, but certainly in the past year or so, we've talked a lot about social determinants of health and the risk factors that are embodied in some of these social determinants really create, I guess I would say, wide rivers to cross when it comes to disparate impact of COVID or other conditions in different communities around, whether it's around the country or around the world. And I guess my question to you is, how do you see these broad factors or determinants influencing health and healthcare?
Well, a lot of people don't realize it, but social determinants of health actually predict roughly 75 to 80% of an individual's healthcare. Clearly, if you have patients that are living in food deserts, who don't have access to their medications, who don't have access to where they can exercise, all of these things are social determinants of health and can impact a individual's health as it relates to recovering from chronic diseases and or the potential of having a chronic disease. So social determinants of health is really important, as well as behavioral health. A lot of times when clinicians look at taking care of their patients, they look at the physical ailments and sometimes do not treat and or recognize the behavioral ailments that a patient may have.
Right. And many of those have been thrown into sharper relief over this past COVID year as well.
That's exactly right.
Really sort of the lack of attention or the previously unmet needs and exacerbated needs over the past year really have come to the fore. So you make a good point that the vast majority of health outcomes are influenced not by healthcare services, but by social determinants.
That's right.
To follow up on the conversation about social determinants of care, I guess the next question is, given the analytics engine that you've built, where do you bring in the data from? What is the data that you're interested in using that can help your customers and their patients yield better outcomes?
So most of the social determinants of health information is actually in the physician notes. And we have designed our solution with natural language processing to where we can actually read the notes. And that is where you have most of the data around social determinants of health.
And how do we access that in a replicable, computable way? Are we talking about natural language processing? Are we talking about menus and checkboxes that physicians are filling out?
Well, the physicians will have notes in their EMR, and we grab that data from those notes from the EMR and then incorporate that in our overall algorithms that we build for our customers.
Do you see that data as being the bulk of the data that you're interested in? Obviously, there's a ton of clinical data that you're processing as well.
No, it's not the bulk. We're interested in the claims data,
sure.
EMR data, and if mm-hmm. our clients are active in an HIE, we're interested in that data as well, and of course, the social determinants of health.
So, I mean, we talk about whole person care, so that sort of brings the social determinants under the same roof as the quote-unquote traditional healthcare service model. Mm-hmm. Do you see the healthcare service delivery system reaching out beyond those traditional walls into the broader sphere? How does the healthcare system addressing food deserts, social issues?
So one of the things that care managers in health providers are doing when they have access to the social determinants of health, they are actually reaching out to those patients that are high risk or potentially have drug adherence challenges. So the data is very valuable to the care managers because the objective is obviously to keep patients healthy and making sure that if they're taking medication, that they have access to the medication, as well as being able to adhere to a diet that might have been prescribed by the physician.
Right. I'm in the Boston area. I'm thinking of a program that was in one of the Boston hospitals where someone was actually writing, quote unquote, prescriptions for healthy food, for housing supports, for other things that are required. Do you see your customer healthcare organizations more integrated with these services outside the four walls or simply making referrals?
Well, they're not, but many of them recognize it. So when you think about some of the community organizations that provide other services to patients that might have food challenges or medication challenges, unfortunately, it's difficult for those organizations to share data with the health providers. And that what comes to mind to me are what's called the FQHCs, which are organizations that are more community health. But unfortunately, they have challenges as far as all the different EMR systems that they use and don't necessarily have a way to integrate data with some of the other providers that might be treating that patient.
Right. And I mean, it varies by market, but in some markets, some of the academic medical centers have partnered with community health centers in order to bring them on to their EMR system and sort of being able to treat them in a way as a community primary care site as part of the broader network. But that's, that's unevenly implemented, of course. Yeah. That lack of integration is a key part of the problem. We don't know what we don't know.
That's right.
Or to a certain extent, we know that what we don't know, and there's a lot that we don't know. And are there intermediate steps that we can take as a system to get better information out of those partners outside the four walls of the hospital?
Yeah, so the steps are, as I mentioned, health information exchanges is one.
Right.
But you also need the ability to integrate and aggregate data from multiple systems inside the four walls as well as outside the four walls. And that's really tough to do right now because it takes a large, large investment. So one of the things that we feel that we do provide as not a total solution, but a stopgap, is the ability to have the natural language processing as well as information for care managers to be able to integrate and aggregate data from multiple sources as they look to reach out to their various constituents and patients.
Sure. If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Sheila Talton, President and CEO of Gray Matter Analytics. Sheila, the future of healthcare analytics may be said to require great flexibility. And I'm wondering how your system flexes, or how do you see the opportunity to flex to accommodate different kinds of data? How do you pull this all together and yield meaningful information, whether for clinicians or for case managers?
So we're a native cloud. We have an architecture that's very flexible, as well as our standard data sets that we have built. So we are able to take multiple sources of data and integrate it and aggregate it much cheaper and faster than what you would do in your traditional data warehouse structures. Both speed and cost is a big advantage for us.
And the goal here is, of course, to inform the next step on the path, right? So how do we translate the ingesting of data into data-informed recommendations for that next step for any particular patient?
Yeah, so our focus is not to tell the clinician how they should be treating their patient. Our goal is to serve up the data so that they can make the decisions. We are experts at around data management and algorithms and the software side. Our customers are experts on the clinical side, and we don't try to practice medicine for them. But one of the challenges that they have is just having access to the data.
And you mentioned claims data as an important piece of all of this. And given the evolution in payment methodologies and payment systems in recent years, we have this sort of convergence of payers and providers.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that you're working both with payers and providers. Do you see any of that, of those engagements, as being at that sort of, on that convergence path? Are the providers interested in managing care because they're accepting more risk these days?
All of the above. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Payers are recognizing that it's not a win-lose proposition relative to value-based care. It is a win-win. So therefore, they don't want to see their providers not getting paid for the work and the services that they have actually delivered to patients. So payers need clinical data and the providers need claims data. One of the things that's really important that's in the claims data is where all has that patient, what different physicians have they seen? Oftentimes they're seeing multiple physicians, and unless you have the claims data, which the payers have, the providers oftentimes don't know that. So I'm seeing more and more where providers and payers are wanting to come together to really deliver, you know, whole care to the patient and make it a win-win proposition and not a win-lose.
Do you see that whole care concept resonating differently for payers and for providers? Or again, are we seeing more of a convergence?
Well, you mentioned earlier, you see some payers getting into the clinical side, and you see obviously a lot of health providers developing ACOs. So I see both. Where it's going to end up, it's an evolution, not a revolution. I'm not really sure. But clearly, a lot of providers want to emulate a Kaiser-like model, and same thing with a lot of the payers. But it's all about the quality and the cost of care.
So we're really looking for insights that can improve quality. In addition to the data that you collect and serve up, is it framed in a way that can help the clinician with those insights?
Absolutely. And in fact, that's the nice thing about the flexibility. The clinicians can look at a segment of patients that maybe might be causing their measures and metrics and costs to be rising. They can look at a group of clinicians, various facilities, various types of chronic diseases. So it's all about serving up the data so that they can have the data readily available quickly so that they can A, manage the quality and manage it not quarterly, but weekly. Because oftentimes a lot of the health providers are looking at their quality metrics on Excel spreadsheets, and that's quarter by quarter. And that's not quick enough for you to be able to course correct, both from a quality as well as a cost perspective.
So that's an interesting observation, and it leads me to another question, which is, do you see the set of tools that you provide as tools for managing an individual patient or managing a panel of patients, or does it not matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because we have the data by individual, as well as we can group the data by different types of clinical states, different groups of clinicians, different facilities, locations. You know, we can look and slice and dice the data and look at it in multiple ways. And the objective is not to tell the physician how to treat the patient. It is more of serving up the information of how well they are performing against the quality measures that either they have in a payer contract or quality measures that they may have set up for themselves of how well they want to manage quality and cost.
I've even seen in some practices where there's some internal metrics and data is blinded and each physician is sort of competing against the alpha physician, so to speak, and just trying to push themselves up a little bit on the food chain there.
And by the way, that's exactly what CMS is doing.
Right.
When you look, when CMS puts out measures and metrics based on certain clinical procedures, they're making the physicians compete against one another across the country.
Yeah. So on the measures front, I have sort of a schizophrenic relationship with these, with all of these measures, partly because if everybody achieves the measures, right, if you achieve high compliance rates with a certain measure, then the measure becomes sort of irrelevant. It's not a good differentiator. If you have a target to reach across 10 measures, then you sort of focus on those and other things fall off the table potentially. Have you seen an issue with that, with sort of measures becoming stale? I know sometimes they get refreshed with different measures, but sometimes there's a lag there.
Well, that's one of the other benefits of using our solution. It's not just a lag. It's also because this whole concept of measures and metrics and value-based care is still fairly new, the payers and CMS change these measures and metrics at least annually, if not right. more frequently than mm-hmm. that. And again, it's very difficult for a health provider to keep up with, you know, they may have 40, 50 different payers along with Medicare and Medicaid. And if those measures and metrics are changing frequently, which they do, it's very difficult for them to keep up with how they're changing and more importantly, how that's going to impact their reimbursements.
So this is a helpful tool then, I hear you saying, for managing care, managing expectations on revenue, reimbursements, et cetera.
And it's also a helpful tool to understand how well you're performing as you're negotiating measures and metrics with the commercial payers.
Right, absolutely. So Sheila, to start to wrap things up here, I would ask, if you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself 5 years in the future, what's one thing in healthcare that you would hope or maybe expect to find has changed drastically?
I would hope that there would be more and more data sharing among payers and providers to actually focus 360 on the patient and the quality of care for the patient. And without that data sharing, it's going to be really hard because, again, the payer knows every physician that the patient's seen because they have to pay that physician. But at the same time, they oftentimes, the claims data is very lagging. So by the time they understand all the various clinicians that a patient is seeing, that patient's health may be continually degrading. I really would like to see more of the payer and provider working in concert to deliver the best possible care for patients.
Well, it certainly seems that, as they say, we have the technology and we should be able to do that. And that's a good hope for the future. Thank you for speaking with me, Sheila.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.